four different men wrote down the story of Jesus. In fact, dozens of men and women wrote Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are merely the four that by consensus became Scripture. The apostles wrote hundreds of letters to clarify and explain Christian doctrine. The few that are in the New Testament are the ones that by consensus were added to Scripture. But the fundamentalists don't see that. They treat the Bible as if God dictated it to a stenographer, complete with chapters and verses. Consensus built the Bible just as consensus builds science. If those holy boys weren't so busy using the good book like a phone book, they'd see that. They're like a stranger in town. All he's got is the phone book. Now, they can tell you every name, address, and phone number in the Bible, but they never have time to set a spell. They just get acquainted. They'll be strangers there forever. But boy, have they got a mailing list. They are just religious name droppers. I know those names. I can drop those names too. All of you, you can say it too. Say Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. You can... Now, don't start bringing in the Apocrypha, boy. I'm talking about Protestant Bibles now. Now, can't you folks all say that? They can all say that. And they can tell you what it exactly literally means. Today, at least. Now, tomorrow, it'll exactly literally mean something else. Dependent, of course, on whether Oral Roberts lives or dies. I'll tell you, that man is tempting God. He is tempting the Lord. But I think the Lord will be generous enough to let him discover hellfire later. But I got to admit, I would dance a little dance if it was sooner. Something like the scientific method goes on in religion, too, when people aren't killing each other. The difference is that whatever version a particular fundamentalist happens to favor on a given Sunday is presented as God's literal and eternal truth to be believed without question forever or until next Sunday. That's authority, folks. Not the authority of the Bible, but the authority of the individual preacher who dares to tell us what the Bible has to mean. And that kind of authority is the enemy of the scientific method. And the scientific method is the enemy of authority. And they know it. That's why they hate science. That's why they try to pin an ugly name like secular humanism on it. They know America will never let them kill science under its own name. We all enjoy our flush toilets too much. So they want to fool America. They want to fool America into killing science under an alias. But why should the scientific method make them afraid? If they had faith, they would not fear the process of public discourse. Because if their religious ideas are true, the scientific method cannot possibly contradict them. And if science seems to contradict religion, just wait a few years. They'll both change. It was awkward for Galileo. But nowadays there are hardly any Christians at all who think the sun goes around the earth. And I haven't heard a scientist seriously propose spontaneous generation in weeks and weeks. As long as we keep talking, we grow. But whenever we submit our minds to unquestioned authority, we grow rigid, we wither, we die. That's true for science and religion, both the same. Say amen.
Amen.
If they really believe their doctrine, they have nothing to fear from the secular science taught in their schools. No one forbids a scientist to publish because he's a Baptist or a Jew. They only forbid him to publish when he's shown to be a liar or a fool. The secular government makes secular laws that require all citizens to pay taxes to support secular schools that teach the findings of secular disciplines. And putting any religion at all in the classroom opens the door for government to meddle in religion. Amen. Which version of creationism will be given equal time? Which creation myths must be presented as alternatives to the time-tested findings of generations of scientists? The government would have to decide the answer to that question. And in the process, the government would indeed establish one religion over all others. The fundamentalists don't mind, because they think their religion would be the one that was established. If they thought for one minute that the Catholic Church or the Mormon Church was going to be established, they'd be screaming for the First Amendment just as loud as right now they're shouting to have it torn apart.
Amen.
The secularity of American public life is the best protection of American religious life. It is not the absence of religion in Soviet classrooms that makes Russia an atheistic state. It is the presence of soldiers in the churches.
Amen.
Can you hear me? Am I talking loud enough?
Yes.
America is, and always has been, a secular state. And from the day the Declaration of Independence was signed, America was established as a humanist state. Now, humanism has included many different ideas in its sprawling shadow. What matters to America is the fundamental humanist ideal that human beings are worth something. That if a human society encourages individual life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, then it is a good society. That it is good for the human mind to think and discover and strive to find truth. That human beings can find truth. That the things that human beings create can be good. Opposed to this is the Calvinist view of man as a worm, born to be damned and destroyed, who can only be saved from his wormhood by the irresistible grace of God. That nothing you do yourself can save you. And if you are saved, you cannot even choose to unsave yourself. That no act of man in itself can be good. And that human beings should be valued not for what they do, but for what God has done to them.
Amen.
And to the degree that fundamentalists believe this idea, to that degree they are directly opposed to the American ideal of individual liberty, of individual responsibility, of individual worth, the foundation of this humanist republic. They are un-American. America trusts human beings to make their own decisions, to determine their own future. America trusts human beings to be free. And because of that humanist ideal, America is free to be a Christian nation if we want to, or not if we want not.
Amen.
Now that freedom comes only because America is a secular state, a humanist state. There is no such thing as a secular humanist religion. I'm the only secular humanist preacher I ever heard of, and I'm just an old fraud. If I was a real preacher, I'd have a solid gold cufflinks and drive a Cadillac like them boys on TV. And if I was a real secular humanist, I'd have control over most of the country. And believe me, it's not working the way I want it to. I can't even get a parking ticket fixed. No, folks, if I'm the whole clergy of secular humanism, then it's an embarrassment as a religion. Say amen.
Amen.
But there is such a thing as secularity. There is such a thing as humanism. And in 1787, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Alexander Hamilton, and hundreds of other patriots did join them together in a grand conspiracy to build a nation upon those two principles. It was a conspiracy to give freedom to all the citizens of this country. A conspiracy to frustrate all those who would concentrate power in the hands of the few, to let them exploit the many for their own advantage. Now, the result of that conspiracy was a constitution that has stood against kings, Führers, and party secretaries, that has struck down city bosses and industrial barons, slaveholders and segregationists, genius generals and powerful presidents who tried to take power that the citizens of America had not given them. And if we are to continue to be free, we must continue to conspire together, all 240 million of us, to maintain our freedom.
Amen.
We must tell the fundamentalists that we will stop them from taking power in the name of their religion. We will stop them just as we stop the slaveholders from perverting government in the name of property rights. Just as we stop the giants of capitalism from perverting government for the sake of profit. Just as we have stopped ambitious generals from perverting government for the sake of victory. Just as we have stopped power-hungry politicians from perverting government for the sake of slogans and causes. Just as we have stopped segregationists from perverting government for the sake of white supremacy. Am I talking loud enough?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Fools, hypocrites, Pharisees, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, here are the words of Jesus in the good book. Search the scriptures, he said. Scornfully he said that. For in them you think you find eternal life. You think you're the chosen ones, the elect, the saved, the sons of Abraham. Don't you know that God can raise up sons of Abraham from the stones of the desert? The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Say amen.
Amen.
Pharisees, fundamentalists, do what you can do by persuasion, but do not lay your hands upon the law. For the church that puts its hand upon the power of the state becomes the state, and in that moment loses all its holiness. All its holiness! Can you hear me?
Yes.
Am I talking loud enough?
Yes.
Then I want you. I want you to reach down. I cannot sustain this cause alone. I want you to dig deep. Not in your pockets. I want you to reach into your heart and mind. I want you to witness for wisdom, to testify for truth. Dig deep in your heart and then print, do not write, your name. Then print, do not write, the scientific theory you treasure most, the one scientific discovery or fact that you do not want to live without. Some people favor gravity. I myself lean toward evolution, even though its work is not yet done. Write it down, and when you're finished, I want you to raise it high. I want to see a sea of papers waving. The deacons will pick up those papers and bring them to me, and I will read what you have testified so all can hear. But put your name there. I will not read something you have not courage to sign your name to. While you're writing, let us sing a hymn together. You all know the tune. The words may be a little unfamiliar. I'll tell you the words before each line. Rock of Ages by the sea. Rock of Ages by the sea. In the hands of entropy. In the hands of entropy. When the ocean and the flood. When the ocean and the flood. Carve the rock and move the mud. Carve the rock and move the mud. Rock of Ages, you will see. Rock of Ages, you will see. Broken down by entropy. Broken down by entropy. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you of the story of creation, the way Moses would have written it if he had had the language to express the vision that he saw. If he had had the scientific framework to comprehend the mighty works of God. In the beginning, entropy was king, and all the universe was void, except a tiny ball of substance without form. Then bang! Bang, I say! The tiniest particles mate and cling. Protons and electrons begin their dance. Yes, electrons play their mad little shell game, moving faster than the eye can see. A great cloud of light and hydrogen swirls out into the night. The dark and cold are driven back, and entropy is cast out of heaven for a moment. The strong nuclear force holds tight. The weak nuclear force hangs on. The electromagnetic force shines so bright as if to say, it is good. And gravity, it just sets and sucks. Then the gas coalesces into stars. Some of them explode, and from the heavier elements spewed out, a second generation of star systems is formed, with small rocky planets rich with carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, life, all swirling and whirling. Rocks around stars marching in great circles around the center of the galaxy, and the strong nuclear force holds tight. The weak nuclear force hangs on. The electromagnetic force shines so bright as if to say, it is good. While gravity, it just sets and sucks. And life, it changes. It adapts. It grows against the downward pull of entropy. And now we are at the peak of all the life we know. Because we alone have the power to consciously, deliberately build against entropy, to raise monuments that last for years, ideas that last forever. Yet entropy sneaks into the hearts of humankind. The dark and the cold burn a hole in the human heart. And because of the hole in our hearts, we have made a way to light the surface of our planet like a star, consuming and destroying all our works. Yet we have also made a way to journey world to world, and someday star to star, planting seeds throughout the universe. And the strong nuclear force holds tight. The weak nuclear force hangs on by its fingernails. Gravity pulls us home. And the electromagnetic force shines bright. And it is good. It is good. I say that it is good. Let me hear you say it. It is good.
It is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look in your heart and tell me, is it cold and dark in there? Do you look at all the business of life and want it to be still? Or do you love the magic of the blowing seed, the gravid beast, the spoken word that stirs the mind? If you do, then I hope you have witnessed. I hope you have passed in your papers. Deacons, if one of you could go pick up, there are a few more papers out here that need to be picked up. Deacon Jabe, would you please go pick up those papers? When I see them waving, I cannot leave souls in despair crying out to testify. The deacons are selecting from the words you've written, and I will read them from this pulpit. But let me warn you, maybe I should have warned you before, but I'm warning you now. Testifying for the truth is not without danger. Have you ever heard of the Mies Commission on Pornography? That was your tax money they spent. You better pay attention to what they did with it. The Mies Commission was named for that champion of liberty, our fearless Attorney General. Most of the people on that committee were folks who devoted years of their lives to trying to convince people that pornography was the worst danger facing the United States. So dangerous that if we didn't throw the Constitution aside and stop pornography, then God would surely burn us up like Sodom and Gomorrah. They studied, they heard testimony, and you won't guess what they discovered. You'll hardly believe your ears when I tell you. They discovered that pornography was the worst danger facing the United States. So dangerous that if we don't throw the Constitution aside and stop pornography, then God will surely burn us up like Sodom and Gomorrah. What is that stink? What is it that smells like rotten eggs? Is it the sulfurous brimstone that God is already heating up to smite us with? No! What you smell is the stink of hypocrisy and guile. What you smell is the odor of deception. Because those godly people on the Mies Commission are not against pornography. If they were truly against pornography, if they were working to persuade people not to read or buy pornography, then I'd be right there with them. Because I think pornography is even worse on your brain cells than an hour of PTL. But they aren't trying to convince people to freely turn away from pornography. They aren't telling people they should repent. They want the government to make laws saying what can or cannot be written, printed, sold, bought, and read. And as long as those laws still don't exist, why, they'll just scare people. You know who they scared? All those fearful little boys at 7-Eleven. The Mies Commission just reared back and said, oogly, oogly, boogly. And blew Playboy and Penthouse and Hustler right out of the stores. Now, I'll tell you, I won't miss Hustler. A magazine that's always had about the same relation to good taste that the National Enquirer has to truth. But Hustler wasn't taken out of 7-Eleven because the customers had all repented of reading such filth and stopped buying it. And it wasn't taken out because the upper management of 7-Eleven are such fine, righteous, moral, upstanding citizens that they wouldn't sell you something that might cause you harm. You know that ain't the reason, because they're still selling beer and cigarettes. And those things kill more people every week than have ever died in all of human history from an overdose of beaver shots. The Mies Commission ain't against pornography. They are for having the government set up the machinery that will decide which writers can write, which speakers can speak, what words they can say, what ideas they can express, what tales they can tell, what scenes they can show. So why do they say that they're against pornography? So that if you speak against them, they can accuse you of being for pornography. But don't you think for a minute, don't you go feeling smug, don't you think for a minute that conservatives are the only censors. The name of the group doesn't matter. Conservative or liberal, they all act the same. The conservatives begin by taking all the books with sex in them off the shelves. The liberals begin by removing sexist language from the textbooks. Keep that in mind, folks. That was how we first started playing politics with the classroom. Do you think they are content with that? No, sir. They come back, and this time they take all the books with impolite language. The conservatives take away the books by Hunter Thompson, so no one will ever hear those coarse old Saxon words for coitus and excretions. The liberals take away Huckleberry Finn, so no one will ever hear the word nigger, even though it appears in a profoundly anti-racist book. Are they finished? No, ma'am. They come back, and this time they take the books with obscene ideas. Books by Marx and Freud, Sartre and Swift, Darwin, Mao, and Asimov. Not because they've read them, not because they've understood them, but merely because they don't like what they've heard about them. Are they finished yet? Never! They will never be finished, because they will always be afraid of ideas they cannot understand. And the more books they remove from our collective memory, the less we will understand, the more we will fear, until we understand nothing, until we fear everything. A nation of frightened peasants with stone axes in our hands, able only to scratch a living from the soil and kill anything strange or different or new. Left or right, they are all pinheads, and they know it. And they want to be sure. They want to be sure our kids are pinheads too. They are the force of entropy. They are the enemy of America. And I tell you, they are not Christian. Am I talking loud enough?
Yes.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Well then, it's time for you to testify. Gail Walker likes Osmosis. Kind of sneaks in on you, doesn't it? And then, some illegible person, but at least it's a signature. I suppose that it's good enough on a check. I'll take it here. Likes the idea that all men are created equal. You sexist. I want you to know that you're not equal to me. Christine Seaman likes the conservation of matter and energy. Just hanging on to whatever you got, is that it? Some people are just not willing to share. Barney Seaman wrote on the same card. Now talk about conservation. He says, 186,000 miles per second, it's the law. I suppose... A law we can live with. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going 75 miles an hour all the way home. I'd like to go a little faster than that to the stars myself. Conservation of Angular Momentum by Dennis Smurl. Doesn't want me to throw him a curve here. Hey, now, wait a minute. They can't all be jewels here. David Daring believes that everything is discoverable. I'm sorry. You are wrong. You can only discover what is true. Jeannie Schmidt says you can listen to both evolution and creation and decide for yourself. I'm sorry, too late. You are already created or evolved. Whatever you are, it's over. Carolyn Kugler likes Heredity. Now, that's nice and simple. I hope you got that from your folks. Carl Sackett likes interest equals principal times rate times time. Well, I don't. We find a perfectly normal congregation of people who love science, and we get an accountant. David W. Fry likes the idea of further brain surgery for Reagan. No, no. Don't mess with what you don't understand. Patrick Gibbs likes Occam's razor. It cuts through the foolishness, he says. I wish more people would shave with it. That's all I can say. Why is Oral Roberts still alive? He asks. It's the gods has a sense of humor? Mike Dilson says, if it weren't for Christianity, we'd still be numbering the years backward. Well, I say, now, he's found a real practical use for religion there. Now, the first time that I preached a secular humanist revival, I got a message that said, I am a Christian, and I think you are wrong to ridicule my faith. And I remember that. I remember that every time I give this sermon, because I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I don't ridicule anybody's faith. I am also a Christian. I know this book. I love this book, and I believe this book is true. I believe it contains the words and the stories of men and women who were genuinely taught by God. I am a believing, practicing member of a church that demands more sacrifice and effort of its members than most fundamentalists would ever give, more than those TV preachers would ever dare to ask for. I spent 2 years as an unpaid missionary for the sake of my faith. Do not suppose for one moment that I think faith is ridiculous. Anyone who has thought deeply about religion and does his best to live according to his belief has my respect, even if we disagree on matters of doctrine. I have not spoken against faith, nor have I spoken against religion. But I have spoken, and I will always speak, in favor of a secular America, a humanist America, in which all faiths and all churches have equal freedom to teach their doctrine and bring together all those who believe it to meet and worship, or not meet and not worship, as they see fit. Brothers and sisters, can you hear me?
Yes!
Am I talking loud enough?
Yes!
No. No, I am not. I cannot possibly talk loud enough. My voice cannot carry beyond the limits of this hall. They cannot hear me in the school boards and the legislatures, where the fundamentalists are shouting that the public schools must teach their private version of creation. They cannot hear me in the legislatures and the courts, where the know-nothings are demanding that only films and books that they approve of be allowed to find an audience. They cannot hear me in the courts and the Congress, where the sanctimonious are scribbling the prayers they want to make our children say in school. They cannot hear me, but they can hear you. If you stand up and speak in the school board and the city council meeting, they will hear you. If you write to your congressman and legislator, they will hear you. And when the jackals gather to attack a teacher or a principal, a writer or a publisher, a bookstore owner or a theater manager for daring to present an idea or an attitude, a scene or a story, a wish or a word that they do not approve of, then let your voice be heard.
Amen.
Not just to defend people that you approve of, because they will try to strike down our freedom by attacking people and ideas that most of us despise. But when we have let them change our laws, when the power is in their hands, when the Bill of Rights lies in tatters around their feet, then it will be too late to speak against them, because then it will be possible for them to use the force of law against you. Amen. Then if you work to throw out the fundamentalist state, the police can arrest you for being an antichrist. They can seize your copy of Origin of Species and try you for possession of pornography. And if you speak for freedom of thought and speech, for a restoration of the Bill of Rights, you will go to jail as a secular humanist. Now, me first, of course. Preachers first. Now, maybe that's why I'm the only member of the secular humanist clergy. Now, like the term reactionary and counter-revolutionary in a Stalinist state, the name secular humanism will be applied to all the opponents of those in power. And under that name, they will disappear. No, says Robertson. No, says Falwell. We aren't the enemies of freedom. All we want to do is clean up a few areas where Americans have fallen into error. All we want is to make this a Christian nation again. We are freedom-loving fellows, and we would never use the law the way you say. And I believe them. I believe they mean no harm. But when they have struck down the Bill of Rights and given vast new powers to the government, powers over faith and speech and publication, it will be but a matter of time until those powers pass into the hands of men who are not so mild and tolerant as Falwell and Robertson. Like Robespierre and Trotsky, the machine they set in motion will grind them to dust. If you think I am melodramatic, if you think my fears are groundless, then keep your silence. Let others fight this battle for you. But if you know something of human history and human nature, you will know that what I fear is not impossible. Humanist states are rare in history, and they do not last for long. They are fragile, easily broken when their citizens come to value some other cause above freedom, when they place the responsibility for deciding their future in someone else's hands. Is freedom too heavy a burden for you to bear?
No!
Will you let them crush the Constitution?
No!
Are you so afraid of being called secular humanists that you will hide and let them have their way?
No!
Or will you speak out against them?
Yes.
Will you speak for freedom?
Yes.
Will you speak to support the secular state?
Yes.
Will you speak to support a humanist America?
Yes.
Let me hear your voices. Let me hear you shout amen to me in the school board. Say amen.
Amen.
Let me hear your voices in the city councils. Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear your voices in the legislatures and the Congress. Hallelujah. And when the jackals find some isolated individual that they think is easy prey, let that lonely, frightened individual see that he or she is not alone. You are beside him. America is beside her. Because what you do is what America does. What you are is what America is. And if you go home and sit on your behind and say, boy, howdy, that revival meeting sure was fun, and you don't do one thing to stop the people who want to destroy freedom in the name of God, then you deserve to lose exactly what you'll lose. Here's a verse of a song you know. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare of freedom beat across the wilderness. The pilgrims made us a thoroughfare for freedom. But if we don't keep walking along that same road, the wilderness will grow right back and we'll lose the way. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul with self-control, thy liberty with law. You've sung that song 1,000 times. Listen to what it means. Your soul is your own business. The business of the government is to preserve our freedom. It isn't just music, folks. Those are words to live by. And what about our national anthem? Do you know the words to that? Do you know those words? I don't ask for the later verses. Just the first verse. You know the words? Then tell me, where does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Tell me. That's right. That's right. Well, here's my last word to you. Here's the tail end of my sermon. It's all in that song. Listen tight, brothers and sisters. If that flag's gonna keep waving over the land of the free, then you damn well better make sure it's waving over the home of the brave. Amen.
Amen.
The Secular Humanist Revival Meeting was created and performed by Orson Scott Card, author of many books and stories and winner of the Hugo and Nebula Awards for his 1985 novel, Ender's Game. The earliest version of this sermon was performed as part of a guest of honor speech at Contraption in Pontiac, Michigan in 1985. At the 1985 North American Science Fiction Convention in Austin, Texas, the revival meeting was performed in full for the first time. With frequent revisions, revival meetings have been held in various states throughout the South. This tape was recorded at Chattacon in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on the 18th of January, 1987. It was produced by Burl Boykin and engineered by Howard Carrington. Copies of this tape are so cheap, it's hardly worth the effort to make illegal copies now, is it?